Hello everyone, how's it going? Welcome back to You Enjoy Life. It has definitely been a while. I released my ayahuasca trip in quotes, story recently, maybe a few weeks ago now since I got back, and I haven't really put anything out since. The truth is, I am retired. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kind of joking. So ever since I left Brothers Green, I have just had this time where I don't have to do anything. There's a lot of things that I love to do. There are a lot of things that I do, but it's the first time in my life where I don't really have that many like set scheduled things. And again, I still work. I still, create some sense of schedule, but what's been really important for me recently is to actually take this time to just focus on myself and focus on doing what feels good. And what's interesting is like, I started You Enjoy Life while I was still doing Brothers Green, and it was great, but it was kind of just this fun outlet. Now I actually finally have the opportunity to just focus on enjoying life. And as much as I loved the experience of doing Brothers Green and making videos and inspiring people to cook and all that good jazz, the last couple of years were really tough. And I'm not going to get into it right now, but let's just say I was starting to feel like I wasn't in my joy. I wasn't in my highest purpose. I wasn't necessarily doing things because I love them anymore. I was doing things because I felt like I had to do them. And I'm the kind of person, when I get to that place, it becomes really difficult and really challenging for me to actually create anything, because it feels forced, it feels false, it feels fake. And You Enjoy Life is all about living in your joy and finding ways to tap into the things that bring you joy. So for me, I would be a hypocrite if I wasn't, practicing this in some regard. So what I've been doing recently is just focusing my days around joy. And this is something that anyone can bring into their life. It's like, maybe, you have a job that you don't love, or you have things you have to do you don't love, but you can bring in more joy into your life. You can make sure that you do one thing. You can start your day doing something you love, even if it's 5 minutes or an hour, whatever it is. If you love dancing, go wake up in the morning and dance and have some fun and start your day with joy. Don't start your day, opening your phone, checking emails and feeling stressed out. You can always change your schedule up to make things work. People are like, oh, I don't have enough time for this or that. It's like, I promise you have enough time. Even if you love cooking, you're like, I don't have time to cook. You can find a way to fit 10 minutes in the morning to cook and make a nice breakfast. And maybe that's just your thing that brings you joy, brings you happiness. Cook for someone, or go for a walk with a friend, whatever it is. So I've been doing this thing recently where I'm focusing on just joy. And like I said, I have some scheduled things, and I have some mentor clients that I work with, and coaching clients that want one-on-one. I have events that I do, but at the end of the day, it's like I'm not like stuck to any kind of schedule. So I wake up and I just do the things that I want to do. And usually in the morning, that looks like I get up around between 6 and 7, no alarm. I just wake up to the sun. I go outside and I work in the yard. Today it was probably an hour and a half. Yesterday it was like over 3 or 4 hours because I was building this whole big new garden bed. And then I just see where the day takes me. I think yesterday, after I worked, I edited a video, which I just put out on my new channel. Well, it's not new, but I'm kind of like relaunching it. That's also called You Enjoy Life on YouTube. I did a video. If you're interested in growing food, I've been putting out some food videos, also some cooking videos, some music related videos. But the video yesterday was all about the life lessons I learned from a tree. And again, not going to get into that super detailed. You can go check it out on YouTube. But let's just say growing food is changing my life in so many ways because it's showing me so much about myself. It's not just about the growing. If you're looking at food from the sake of like, okay, I need to learn this dish, how to cook this or how to grow this. That's great, but there's so much more that you can take away about your own life and who you are and how you show up and your patience levels and your understanding and your trust and your willingness to learn and be open and all these things. It's blowing my mind. So yeah, yesterday after I worked in the yard, I edited some videos, I sent out some emails, I played some music, which was awesome. I was learning some jazz guitar, and then I had a meeting, which was really just a new friend coming over and hanging out and talking about food and life and all kinds of stuff. And then we had friends come over and we had this great little dinner party, and we had a big jam at the end, and it was awesome. And that was just the day. And like I said, there's things that I had scheduled, like I had this meeting scheduled. But there are things that I'm doing because I enjoy them and I'm excited about them. I'm taking meetings with people because I want to. And I know I'm in a very unique and special place where I actually have this time right now where I don't have to worry too much about anything. I'm in no way like set, but I have a little bit of time right now, since I sold Brothers Green. to my brother to just kind of like focus on me and focus on doing the things that I love. And the reason I'm talking about this is because it's so funny when I look at everything that I've had success in life started from me doing something from a place of joy. So when I first started my band in college, you know, we weren't like, it's wild because, you know, just like a little piece of the story, when I met my, you know, then later on roommate, this guy, Tim, he was an amazing musician, and I definitely wasn't. Like, he could play so many, he could play piano, bass, guitar, he could write, record, sing, all these things, had a great voice, harmonies. All I could do is jam out on my guitar. I couldn't sing, I couldn't write, I couldn't record. I had none of these skills. I would put on like Fish or Grateful Dead or Dave Matthews or Rolling Stones and just jam out, have a good time. But when I met him, you know, he was so talented, and something just clicked inside of me, because he was also shy and I was a little bit more like outgoing and like, oh, you know, like shamelessly promoting our music. But something just clicked, and I knew within like moments that we were going to have this big band. It was going to be a big thing, and it was going to be awesome. And that took my life in this wild ride. But when we first started out in the band, we were just doing whatever felt right. It was like we would get back from class, or we would skip class, or whatever it was, and we would just write songs all day. It was mostly at the beginning, Tim writing and me just like kind of like orchestrating, cheerleading him on, dancing around, like, because I love dancing. So I would kind of just like dance and be like, yes, this, that, you know, just sort of help out and be moral support. And we were just doing it for fun. We weren't thinking about how we were going to perform, how we were going to make money, how are we going to, you know, get this out there. We were just doing it because we enjoyed it. And then we started, you know, taking the next step. We started putting the songs out. We were just putting them online. And we were part of the early crew, I would say, that would just release music for free. The Pure Volume was kind of like the original place. Before SoundCloud, it was all Pure Volume. And you could go there and you have a band profile. You could put up pictures and songs. And there was this option to give your songs away for free. And we would just give them away and let people download them. And this is, 2004 or something. So that was a long time, 15 years ago. And we were just having fun and doing it. And then we found other bandmates. And then we just started booking gigs and playing. But it went from this place of just pure joy and awesomeness to like realizing, okay, this is something I love. Now, how do I turn this into a business? And I learned a lot in the process. There was a lot of things that we did that I would never do again. I'm grateful for the whole experience. It was amazing. We were together for 10 incredible years. But we also started to, I felt like when we moved to New York City, you start meeting label people, industry people, and you start having some success. And then all of a sudden people start planting ideas in your mind. And then it becomes less about the enjoyment of music and more about the fear of like, we're getting older, guys. We got to do this. We got to make some money. We got to, you know, we got to buckle down. We got to have this certain look. We got to have this sound. This guy said this and this and this band does this and we got to do that. And to me, we lost the joy. And there was still joy. Like whenever we performed, that was the joy. But there was so much like fear and stress I felt around the band. And so in my last couple years of the band, I started Brothers Green. It was the same. It's so funny, the cycles. It was the same thing. It started out with just like doing our thing. You know, we were Mike and I just with our friends, John and Adam, just filming, cooking, hanging out, having a good time, not overthinking it, just like putting it on Vimeo, doing whatever felt right in the moment, having fun. And then someone saw it and liked it. And then slowly over time, it kind of became a bit of the same cycle where, you know, you get signed and then we started making money. And all of a sudden we have a show on MTV and then we're producing on YouTube and we're dealing with brands and we have an agent and all these big things are happening. And I started to lose myself in the process. So the reason I'm really sharing this is because I think it's so important to start things out. If you're passionate about something and you have no clue how it's going to become a business, you're like, I know that I love painting, or I know that I love running, whatever the thing might be. It's like, if you love it and it's a passion and you want to maybe turn it into a business someday, you know, don't worry too much about the business right away. Don't feel like you need to just have this business plan. I'm going to make a plan. I'm going to go after it. It's like, that's great. But you need to first make sure that you actually enjoy that thing. So do the thing. If it's about art, if you're an artist, you know, or if you're a farmer, a grower, first make sure you're actually doing that. Don't say, hey, you know what, I want to be a farmer. I'm going to spend 3 years only studying and writing papers about being a farmer, but I'm never actually going to get in the field and actually grow anything. It's like you can do both at the same time, or at least start growing some of your own food. If you want to be a musician, you know, don't just write out some crazy detailed plan and spend months like trying to figure out what you would do. It's like, make sure you're actually playing your instrument and going out and playing shows and making sure that the enjoyable part, the part that you love, is leading the way. The other things will come. And it's great to learn all the different sides. Like, I am so grateful that I know how to film. I know how to record. I can record music. I can record videos. I can edit both music and videos. But I can also write and create. Like, I know how to do all the things, because over time I've learned all this stuff. But there's things that I enjoy most, and there are things that I know only I can do. And this is a huge piece to this. There are things that I know that are unique and special to me, and then there are things that other people can do really well and better than I can. So it's good to learn everything. Like, when you're on a film set, so when we first started doing our show on MTV, at that point I had learned how to edit video. I could shoot, I could do sound, but I wasn't like, it's kind of like master of none. Like, I wasn't the best at any of these things by any regard. What is the best even? But I wasn't anyone who was super like incredibly gifted and talented. I just knew how to do them, and I could do it sufficient enough to put up my own videos and, you know, have a good time and share recipes and stuff online. Now, when we got to MTV, we had a huge crew, and there's someone there who's dedicated to just sound. There's someone there who's dedicated to, you know, shooting. There's two shooters or three shooters, and then there's a guy that just deals with the media. Once all the, you know, all the footage is collected, he takes it all and organizes it all and then puts it all together in a project file. And then there's someone who's directing, you know, and someone who's producing, and someone who's dealing with all the food. And it's like, it's funny to go from YouTube, where it's just you, or like, you know, it's my brother and I a lot of times, or just me, to like having a crew of like 15-16 people who everyone has like one job. And I'm like, well, I've done all these jobs. But here's the thing: the reason that I also really enjoyed film sets is because it allowed me to focus on what I do best. Now, there is a balance. So when I go into a film set, I know that I'm showing up as my job. The one thing that no one else on that crew can do is be me. There's the one thing that no one else can do, I think, in the world, is be me, is show up on camera in the way that I do, take it or leave it, love it or hate it, whatever it is, show up on camera, do the things that I do, say the things that I say, create what I create, come up with the ideas that I come up with, all this stuff. But the sound guy is probably way better at sound than I am. That's his job. Now, I might know a little bit, and I could choose to go on there and be like, you know, micromanaging everyone and be very controlling, and or I can trust. And there are times when you go on sets and people aren't great, and you got to, like, you know, crack the whip a little bit. But at the end of the day, you know, it's about figuring out how to create an environment where you're able to do the thing that no one else can do. You know, you figure out what makes you special and unique, and you have other people supporting you. And this is like where community comes in, and teams and leadership. You have other people supporting you on your vision, on your mission. And that might be like, hey, let's say you're an artist. Maybe that means you focus on the art. And at first you should learn all the sides of the business as much as you can. Learn about, you know, the sales, learn about the marketing, learn about social media, learn about all these things. But with the goal to be able to share that and bring in and create a team around you who's going to support you and do those things, people that you trust. And it's not easy to create a team. It takes a lot of time. But the beauty of that is you can actually have respect for all of the people who are doing those other jobs. Because when you actually know how to do something, now that I know how to shoot, when I actually work with a shooter, I have a tremendous amount of respect for what they do because I know what it takes. And B, I can also help if they need some direction, or if I have an idea, I can help explain it to them in a way where I'm not just like, yeah, can you just like film this and make it look pretty? It's like, no, like, I have this really cool idea. Can we work together? And then there's this fun thing that happens where like, oh, this person actually knows what's up, which means they actually put in the time to learn about these things, and the way they're speaking to me, I can relate to. So it creates a really cool dynamic. And again, the reason that I think it's so important to talk about these things is because so many people want to spend more time doing what they're passionate about. We live in this world now where it's like, it feels like every commercial is like, follow your dreams and your passion, you know, and do this and live your best life. And in movies, it's always about the, you know, the people with the not always, but often like the 9-to-5 job. And then they, you know, they figure out this new thing, or they fall in love, or they create some invention, or they go after their dream and they become rock star, whatever it is. Like, that we see this all over, always being promoted to this, but it can be very lonely and daunting when you're, you know, you're working a normal job and you know you're one of those people that like all the movies are trying to tell you not to be or to get away from. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with a 9-to-5 or whatever. We say 9-to-5 like it means anything. It's just such an illusion, because there are 9-to-5 quote unquote jobs that are probably really boring and soul crushing, and there's other ones that are great, you know. But I think it's that idea of keeping in the main normal construct that people tend to struggle with. So I say bring in more joy and figure out ways to create from a place of enjoyment. And then if that becomes something, that's great. If you're passionate about something, you're not sure, well, you know, well, I would love to be a musician, but I don't know how to be, or I would love to, you know, be a scientist or whatever, I don't know how. So there are certain careers that have a much more, you know, succinct path. It's like you go to school for this, you study this, you get an internship here, you get a job here, and boom, you're done. But if you're really out there to try to create something new and special and unique to yourself, you could be someone who loves science, you could be someone who loves art, and you could figure out a way to blend the two. And they could start with like, yeah, I have a YouTube channel where I talk about the connection between science and art, you know, or spirituality and religion or whatever it is. And do it from fun, because if you're doing it from a state of joy and you're being unique and special to yourself, people will start to pick up on it. And over time, maybe it starts as that thing that you do, you know, in the morning before you go to work, or after at night because you're dedicated to it. You know, sometimes you have people have to work a full-time job or they're in school full-time, but there's still time. You know, if you're passionate about something, that you say you're passionate about making videos and sharing information, it doesn't take that long. You could, you know, set your iPhone up, press record, and then just start talking, and then edit the video very basically and get out there, and then share with people. And maybe at first it's not much. Maybe at first, like, it's this really just basic, simple concept thing that you work on. But what happens is over time, as more and more people catch on, the more you're unique and authentic to yourself, you might start to see that grow. And then all of a sudden you start a Patreon, some people are giving you money, and next thing you know, you have this side income just from doing something that you love. And before you know it, people or brands are reaching out to you, or agents, or like you're making enough AdSense to work part-time or whatever it is. But you don't know until you try. And I always say it starts with joy. So the things that you love to do, it's one thing if you just like, you know what, I really love dancing, but I have no interest in starting a career. That's okay. But there are things I really believe that people think like, well, I would love to do that, but I can't. You know, so there is something in your life right now where you, like the dream, like this, so people say like my unrealistic dream, it's like there's no unrealistic dream. But if you have one of those dreams where you're like, well, you know, I would absolutely love, you know, say to make money as a chef, but I just don't think it's like unrealistic for me. Well, if you have that dream, realize that anything is possible. And maybe it doesn't show up in the normal way. Like maybe like, well, I'd love to be a chef, but I don't want to work in a restaurant. That was kind of a thing that I said. Like, I think it'd be so cool to make money cooking. I have no interest in working in a restaurant. And then I figured out my own way to do it. First, it was doing private chef business, just cooking for people like one-on-one, delivering lunches, helping people with their diets, teaching cooking classes, whatever it was. And then, you know, we started filming it. It turned into a show. And had I just looked at it kind of in this linear thing where it was like, okay, you know, go to culinary school, because there actually was a part of me when I was in school, in college, doing the music thing, I was like, why am I studying marketing? This makes no sense. I would love to go to, say, culinary school. And I still wanted to do music, but I thought it'd be fun to go to culinary school instead, because instead of studying marketing, which I didn't care about, I could at least learn about food in the meantime, instead of trying to go to like music school or something. So I had this piece of me that wanted to go to culinary school, but then it's like, well, and my parents are like, I don't think so. I was like, all right, fine. But there was this part of me that just like didn't ever imagine being able to make any money from cooking, because I didn't want to be in restaurants. I did not want to work in restaurants, but I knew that I love food. So when I started just doing food in a way that I enjoyed, I started inviting friends over and cooking for them. You know, started throwing parties and having food. All of a sudden, suddenly friends were like, hey, your food's great. Can I like pay you to just deliver me weekly meals? Or like, can I pay you to host this dinner party for me? And, you know, I'll give you a per budget per person, and it's going to be really nice, and we'll work on the menu together. And suddenly I was doing something else besides music that I loved, and I was getting paid for it. And it was all because, like, you know, I was leading from joy, and people saw that. And one of the best pieces of advice that my dad has ever given me, and it's held true throughout all this time. He said it first in music. He said, when you're doing something great, people will find you. He's like, you shouldn't need to go out there and promote yourself, because if you're doing something truly great, people will find you. And lo and behold, that has happened every single time. From Brothers Green, from our first show getting signed, Mike and I and our little team, we never shared, like we shared it on, you know, Facebook and Vimeo, but we never like went out and tried to pitch and sell a show, because we were doing something special and somebody found us and said, hey, we love what you're doing. We want to sign you. It was that simple. And MTV was the exact same way. When we ended our first show, Midnight Munchies, and we were doing food and music and having a good time, we started YouTube. After that, literally, like, on a month after we started a YouTube channel, MTV saw what we were doing. They were like, wow, we're trying to do a food and music show. These guys are great. We want to do a show with you. And it happened like that. It was so quick, the whole process. And of course, contracts and things take time, but like, we were just doing something that was different. We were having fun. We were being in joy. We were doing something special, and people saw it and they picked up on it. And what was cool about that is it gives you actually a tremendous amount of influence and power in the situation, because you're not out there trying to say like, hey, I've got this thing and I just really want people to see it. And if they would only just see it, you know, they would know. And there's nothing wrong with going out there and pitching and selling what you're doing. But sometimes that can come from this space of desperation when you're like, this is my dream. I need to, like, you know, I need to make this happen. And it might start out as just this fun dream, but then one day you're like, I really need to make this happen. I need to hustle. And the problem with the hustle is, you know, there's nothing wrong with it per se, but it can create this sense, like I said, of desperation, or this sense within you of like, this needs to happen. And that's when people start cutting corners. When it becomes about, I need to make money because of this, you know, and this is my dream, but I'm willing to sacrifice it in certain ways that aren't healthy because I need to make money, that's when problems start happening. So what I say is, do something you love and people will come to you. If you build it, they will come. You know, that classic Field of Dreams. But I truly believe that that is a huge, 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 huge part of all this. So if you're out there and you're trying to figure out, how do I, you know, live my life? How do I find my passion? Start with doing things that bring you joy and just keep doing them and sharing them with the world. And you'd be surprised and shocked what might come from that. So thank you all so much for listening to You Enjoy Life. You're glorious. You're amazing. We'll speak soon. And in the meantime, you can go on iTunes and like or star or whatever the podcast and leave a comment. That would be really cool. I'd appreciate it. Regardless, though, have a great day.